From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov. Imagine you're running for office, and one day your opponent offers you cash to drop out of the race.
I see it every year. I mean, some clown runs for office, drops out of the race, and gets a big chunk of dough.
That's a scene from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. And today, we have the real story of a Philadelphia congressman dropping a load of cash to get his challenger out of a race and getting away with it. A week ago, a Philadelphia jury handed a felony conviction to Ken Smuckler, an underling of Representative Bob Brady, for participating in the payoff. That followed guilty pleas by three others in the investigation. But Brady, the man who benefited from the transaction, walked away untouched. So why did federal authorities invest so much in an investigation that yielded so little? And paying off an opponent may be nauseating, but is it illegal? Today's show, The Brady Bunch. WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies has covered Bob Brady for years.
So for the benefit of those who don't know, who is Congressman Bob Brady?
He's a throwback to a bygone age. He is the leader of one of the last big city political machines in America.
The people in our neighborhoods are thirsty for change. They're craving for change because they're fed up with the violence. We can't gamble our future anymore.
People big guy, 6 foot two, broad shoulders. He was a union carpenter way back. He came up through the ranks of ward politics. In fact, he's still leader of the 34th Ward in Overbrook and chairman of the Philadelphia Democratic Party. He's been in Congress for 20 years now, but he still sounds like the guy from the neighborhood.
My videographer didn't get that. What'd you say?
Hide the money.
Hide the money.
One of the things that I most enjoy in Philadelphia politics is visiting Brady's ward headquarters on election day. Just hearing him talk about what he does.
You see committee people at every division, all right? Probably the last machine that does that.
Bob Brady's not what you'd call a policy innovator, but he is really smart, and he is a master of relationships. People like him, they trust him, and he's effective. I mean, when the city was about to lose the Dadville Regatta or the cycling championship, or there was a SEPTA strike.
Yeah, I remember a few of those. SEPTA strike years and years ago, he came in at the last minute, brokered a deal.
Yeah, again and again, he would jump in because he has the power, the leverage, and the relationships with people in business, in politics, and philanthropy who could get things done, and it always made a difference. He became chairman of the city's Democratic Party way back in 1986 when he was appointed by Wilson Good, the city's first black mayor. It was a time when there were some deep racial divisions within the party, and it was in some respects a gesture of unity on Good's part for the mayor to pick a white guy from the building trades to run the party.
So he runs the city committee, which is 69 ward leaders across the city, and then eventually makes it to Congress. How does he make that jump?
Well, in 1998, an opening came up. Tom Fulietta, who'd been the congressman in South Philadelphia for many years, leaves. And Brady wins that seat with the support of a lot of African-American political leaders that he had developed relationships with.
So Bob Brady was reelected every year with not a lot of opposition. And then in 2012, something happened.
In July, I will formally announce my campaign for Congress.
A guy named Jimmy Moore, who was a former municipal court judge, decides he's going to challenge Brady in the Democratic primary. He's serious about it. He puts like $80,000 of his own money in it. He's going to take a run at Brady.
Because I want to create jobs, improve our schools, build opportunities, and give our young people the chance they deserve.
After a few months, Moore's campaign is kind of going nowhere, and there's a meeting between Jimmy Moore and Brady, which is actually brokered by Wilson Good Sr., the former mayor who had appointed Brady all those years before, and who, as it happens, is also kind of a father figure to Jimmy Moore. And as Moore would explain later in court, they actually met at Wilson Good's church.
Good brings me into the meeting to try to help me resolve my situation in terms of the money. That's what I believe. During the course of the meeting, we then begin having discussions, serious discussions of how I'm going to get out of the race.
After some negotiations, an arrangement is struck. Moore will get out of the race, and Brady promises to get $90,000 from his campaign fund to retire Moore's campaign debts. The money's transferred, and none of this is known to the public or the media for 5 years. Then,
Pennsylvania Congressman Bob Brady is now the target of an FBI investigation into campaign payments.
In July 2017, last year, federal prosecutors drop a bombshell.
Court documents show the FBI searched the emails of Pennsylvania Congressman Bob Brady.
They found out about the deal. They describe it in a court filing and announce criminal charges and a guilty plea, not from Brady, the guy who benefited from the deal, but from Moore's campaign manager and girlfriend back in 2012, a woman named Carolyn Cavanis, who is suddenly ensnared in something that understandably terrifies her.
But they had these bank records, and they saw, I mean, what am I supposed to,
which you can hear in an FBI recording of her coming to Jimmy Moore after she's first visited by the feds.
What exactly is she charged with?
Well, it was she and three other people, you know, Cavanis and Jimmy Moore and two consultants who had worked for Brady would all be charged over the next few months. Three of them would plead guilty. But the charges weren't for the really shocking thing, you know, bribing somebody to get out of race, but instead for violations of campaign reporting regulations, federal campaign finance law.
So the $90,000 to get Jimmy Moore out of the race, that wasn't charged as a crime.
It was not charged as a federal crime in this case. See, the problem is that under federal election law, there are limits on campaign contributions, and a federal campaign committee, like Brady's, can't legally give another committee, like Jimmy Moore's, $90,000. That would be an excessive and illegal campaign contribution. So the feds say the money was transferred through a bunch of dummy transactions, disguised as Brady buying a poll Jimmy Moore had commissioned and hiring Moore's campaign manager for work that nobody expected her to do. In effect, dummy transactions to get the money to Jimmy Moore.
So again, why would they go after these technical violations but not the actual deal, paying somebody 90 grand to just drop out of the campaign?
That's a great question. And when this first became public, I asked a bunch of election lawyers and national experts. I couldn't find one who would say, yes, offering an inducement to get somebody out of a race violates a criminal statute.
I don't believe that that is necessarily a violation of the law.
One that I talked to was Noah Bookbinder, who's executive director of Citizens for Ethics and Responsibility in Washington. He's also a former trial attorney for the Justice Department's Public Integrity Section. He knows this stuff. And what he said was, well, if you found a case where somebody had made this kind of payoff and then falsified their campaign finance reports to disguise it, prosecutors would come down heavily on the falsified campaign filings. But as for the deal itself, no.
If you had a situation where candidate A said, I will give you a $2,000 contribution in my name, and then we'll report it if you agreed to get out of the race, that is probably not a violation of the law.
In fact, Shai, there's one very well-known public example of this, and this was in 2010 when Joe Sestak of Delaware County,
former congressman from Delaware County,
defied party leaders in running for the U.S. Senate. This was when Arlen Specter had switched parties, become a Democrat. Everybody wanted the field cleared so that Arlen Specter could carry the Democratic banner. Sestak insisted on running. Everybody tried to talk him out of it.
Give me a direct answer.
It turned out that the Obama White House had offered an unspecified federal appointment to Sestak if he would get out of the race, not run against Arlen Specter.
Did the president, did the White House offer you the Secretary of the Navy gig?
And the answer is, I said I was offered something. I don't have to go beyond that.
So you say four people were charged, three pled guilty, one went to trial. That's Ken Smuckler. What exactly was Ken Smuckler charged with?
Well, most of the $90,000 that Brady paid Jimmy Moore was routed through two companies that Smuckler owned. So he was just all over that stuff. And in fact, from the testimony, it seems Smuckler was the guy who really plotted the whole thing out. So Smuckler was charged with illegal contributions, causing the filing of false reports, and conspiracy to do all of that.
Who is Ken Smuckler?
Well, he's a political consultant who worked for Bob Brady, and he is a character.
If there was a race to do, I was doing. You want to run for dog catcher? I'm your man.
I can remember when I was covering political races, I would sometimes have to call Ken Smuckler about some issue in a campaign, and I'd kind of dread it because he was just relentless. It was like interviewing somebody on a Stairmaster. He would have argument A, B, C, D, E for why his point of view was right. It was just exhausting. And when he took the stand in his trial, I saw him get the better of an experienced federal prosecutor in cross-examination, which just never happens.
This, if you called the FEC and made this argument, they would find this absurd. They'd be looking around going, what are you talking about? You're buying a poll. Bob Brady is buying a poll. For whatever reason, wants to...
That prosecutor was on the Stairmaster, and Ken was just going on and on about he understood the Federal Election Commission, and what he did was perfectly reasonable, and he would just mock the prosecution's case.
And so what? It becomes a contribution because there's no value to it?
But in the end, the jury didn't buy it. Smuckler was convicted on 9 of 11 charges and will be sentenced in March, could be going to jail.
So Brady was never charged in really any of this. Did this hurt him in any other way?
Yeah, it certainly damaged his reputation. He was criticized over the years for being too tolerant of other Philadelphia politicians being corrupt, but he himself always said he never took a dime. He used to tell me if he was in line at a restaurant in Washington and the manager wanted to seat him because he was a congressman, he would refuse because that was important to him. The reports on this investigation were terrible for him. Opponents started popping up to run against him for re-election, and so he announced he would not run again. He held a news conference and said it was for personal reasons.
My daughter, single parent, could use some help. I like to take my grandchildren to school. I got a great grandchild and have another grandchild on the way. And I just think that I choose them.
I asked him at that news conference what happened at the meeting with Jimmy Moore and Wilson Good. And Brady got pretty testy.
The feds have said in numerous filings that there was a deal that you agreed to pay $90,000 from your campaign fund.
No.
In return for him dropping out. What exactly did happen?
No. Next question.
What did happen? Was there a
meeting? No. You asked me a question. Can I tell you? I told you no.
You know, I've been talking to Bob Brady for a long time. We've had our ups and downs. I mean, his lawyer once threatened to sue me over a story, but we always got past it. After that exchange in that news conference, he didn't return my calls for weeks. I think this really wounded his pride. On the other hand, you know, he was not charged. He was not called as a witness, and he got to leave with a nice federal pension and will remain the undisputed leader of the Philadelphia Democratic Party. I spoke to one juror of the Smuckler trial at some length, and she said they were all furious that Brady wasn't there, and that he got away when this really was his deal.
Were there crimes here that, you know, we in the public should really care about?
I think the transactions were not real, and they were designed to hide the deal. So the pleas and guilty verdicts, they do reflect real offenses. But in the world of political money, I think there are a lot bigger problems I wish the FBI would take on. You know, in this case, Shai, there were more than a dozen agents involved in searching Smuckler's house. They wired Jimmy Moore's girlfriend to record him. They wired Jimmy Moore to record Wilson Good. There was a lot of effort here. And I just can't help but think of all the super PACs in presidential and Senate races that are run by the candidates' associates and former staff. They raise tens of millions of dollars, and the candidates are allowed to come to their fundraisers, even though they're legally not supposed to coordinate their efforts with the super PACs. I'd like to see the FBI drop a few wires on those committees that flood the system with money, see what they can do if they really want to get into the world of campaign finance. By the way, the statute of limitations has now run out, so Brady will not be charged in this matter, no matter what.
Dave, thanks for coming in and talking to me.
My pleasure.
That's it for the show. The Why is produced by me and Annette John Hall. Got a comment? Drop us a line on Twitter at Shai Ben Yaakov and at Annette JH. Subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. I'm Shai Ben Yaakov, and
you want to run for dog catcher? I'm your man.
We'll be back tomorrow.